Well, good morning again. You know how privileged you are to be able to serve the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. The Bible says that there's no power but of God, and that the powers that be are ordained of God. So no matter how powerful some things or people may seem, they have no power within themselves. The only power that men have are powers that God give them. That's men everywhere. God ordains governments. And one thing that used to comfort me in some of my jobs was I said, you know what? I'm not going to let this person bother me because my boss is my boss's boss. So deal with that, right? So I could always go and tell on my boss. And you know what? Every time I tell on my boss, on my boss's, to my boss's boss, then my boss tell me how to react to my boss. And he sends me straight to the word. Sometimes I don't like it, but that's the best way to do, is to do what the word say do. Amen? Well, we're going to go back to the book of 1 Thessalonians and look a little further. I was led to go back there and look a little deeper into this thing about comfort and the comfort that we have of the gospel and the wonderful blessing that we have of being spared the judgment that folks always talk about. You know, it's amazing that depending on what fellowship you are a part of, one fellowship will tell you that you are going, that you, the church, are going to go through the same judgment that everyone goes through in the book of Revelation, with all of the signs and the seals and all of that, and the church is going to go through all of that, which sort of doesn't make very much sense to me. Why would God do that to us? We're His. We're His children. Would you do your children like that? I mean, would you take your children? You just correct them and everything, but you take care of your children. So it's something about it doesn't work. That's a lot. You ever met a Christian that's so quick to tell somebody they're going to hell? You're going to hell. You know what I call that? I call that a bloodthirsty Christian. It's a bloodthirsty person. They want your blood. They want to see you suffer. They're miserable, and they want you to be miserable, too. They're the ones that need to get saved. Come on now. I know the Bible says judge not, but we still should discriminate about these things. Now, come on now. If the love of God is in you, why are you so quick to tell me that I'm going to hell? Just love me. Just treat me the way the Bible says that I should be treated. And I'm so glad that God gives us mercy. And that's one of the biggest hallmarks of the Christian walk is mercy and love. And so it's hard to follow someone like that who's always down in the mouth. Well, Lord, we are so grateful today for you and for who you are and for who you are in our lives and who we are in you. And Lord, we're so glad that we're not where we were before you came and arrested us. And we're so blessed to be where we are in this life, even in this world, to have the knowledge of truth and the knowledge of your great grace and salvation upon us. Father, we all look so very different, and all of us are at different stages of our walk with you. But the bottom line is, we are all the same in you. We are all saved, sealed, and already delivered. And we thank you for that, Lord. Now, Father, I was reminded this morning that we have some people in the world that are being hit by a storm there, Sandy, that new storm. Lord, so many storms have caused such destruction, but we pray for the victims of that storm, and we pray, Lord, for that region and those regions, the entire east coast of Florida, I hear, for the entire entire east coast of the United States is going to be affected by this storm, and I understand it's a massive storm. Father, we just pray that you'll help those to make the right choices and to go in the right directions to avoid any type of a disaster that could be awaiting them. Lord, we've also heard that Canada had an earthquake and on a 7 point on the Richter scale, or maybe a little over 7 point on the Richter scale, and we just heard that this morning. Father, we don't know what the damage may have been. We don't know what types of outcomes there were, but we also pray for that area as well, Lord, that you would remember those people there. But your will is, you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, Lord, we know that all men die, but what's tragic is that a man dies without you. And so I pray, Lord, that you preserve those souls that they might come to know you. And Father, look upon this word today and help us and touch us so that we can receive this message that you're sending us from your very throne of grace, having to do with your return. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, and he is wanting to encourage them and with this message that he gave them. And as I was saying earlier, many times the church, and one thing that they were discouraged about was they expected, and most of the Jews expected, that Christ would come during their lifetime. And one thing that made them discouraged was that many of their brothers and sisters were living and dying, and Christ hadn't come yet. And so Paul has gone through great pains to try and explain what's really going on here. And once you're in Christ, once again, you are saved, you are sealed, and you are delivered. And that takes us all the way through eternity in Him. Verse 13 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." So first of all, he speaks out against not knowing and not understanding and not having the comprehension, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We have hope. We've lost some brothers, some sisters in the past. We stood over their casket and we shed tears. But we know that if they died in Christ, that we have hope and that they have that same hope. But it says, don't you sorrow as others which have no hope. Now, it's easy to say when it's not your house that death hits. It's so easy to quote it when it's not you that experiencing this, what we call in the world, loss. But it's true nonetheless. And it got me through the deaths of my family as they all died one at a time. So I would look at that casket and say, you know what? I'm going to see him again. I'm going to see her again. I'm going to see him again. And what a glorious time that's going to be. And I don't know about you, but that is very, very comforting to be able to say that. That's why we don't waste time sharing with our loved ones this gospel. It's very important. You don't have to be a theological student to share the good news of the gospel. If you don't understand enough scriptures, just tell what the Lord did for you. That's as good as it can get. Just tell them what you know, I was this, but now I'm this. Well, how'd that happen? All I know is I was lost, and now I'm found. But what you mean lost? All I know is I was blind, but now I can see. Well, I mean, I still, all I can know is that I was in prison, and now I'm free. That's all I can tell you. And I'm telling you that this is good enough for you. And this is for you. All you need to do is say this, yes, Lord, from your heart. You don't have to be a big old confusing. You could witness at your job. You could witness on the street. And folks say, well, what about the third finger and the big toe of Daniel's image? I don't know about all of that. But all I can tell you is this. Jesus Christ can make you whole. That's all I can tell you. Jesus Christ can make you whole. And if they want to fuss and fight and kick about it, say, well, I've done my job. Apparently you're not interested. God bless you. I hope one day that he'll touch your heart and let it go. Amen. You don't want to struggle with these things. But what you have ran up to is somebody that whose heart is hard and has no interest in the gospel. But then you know what you do after that? You go to the next one. And you wait for an open door to share the gospel. You wait. You listen for an opportunity to share the gospel. And the Lord will give you that. And then you share it. And it doesn't always have to be the same. In any kind of form or fact. Well, I'm so glad God didn't feel that way about me. Or some kind of something. Well, I know if God is good. I know that he loves everybody. But some kind of, any kind of way. Just to begin to speak about it. And so I guess you must be holier than thou. Well, I can't fess up to that. I'm not holier than you are. I'll be the first to let you know I have problems. And I'm the first to let y'all know. So I won't be sitting on a pedestal. There will be a chair, but I won't be sitting on it. I refuse to sit on a pedestal because I have no business on a pedestal. Come on now. And then he goes on in verse 14, he says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Let me ask you, do you believe that Jesus died and rose again? Anybody have any questions about that? This is the time to ask. It seems to me that you all are settled on this truth, that Jesus died and rose again. Well, if that's the case, then them which sleep with him will God bring with him. The Bible speaks in Philippians 5:8 of being absent from the body and being present with the Lord. So when Jesus comes, he's going to bring those that are with him when he comes. That's my mama, my daddy, my sister, my brother. I'm going to see these people again, but it's going to be under totally and entirely different circumstances. It's going to be a glorious, glorious reunion. And then, not only am I going to see them, but I'm going to see every family member that knew the Lord all the way back to Adam. Everyone. Everyone. What a reunion, y'all, this is going to be. And then the most wonderful part of the reunion is when we see our relatives all the way back to Adam, we're going to see that we're all related anyway. we come from that one seed. We're all related anyway. If you talk about a reunion, and I understand, in our present condition, with our present mindset, with our present emotions and our present situations, we still have separate kind of lives and that kind of thing. And we do this for survival here in America and that type of thing. But I tell you, when this new kingdom come in, all of that's going to mash together. And you talk about a family, I mean a true family reunion. That's what's ahead. And so we know that we're going to see them once again. "For this we say unto you," in verse 15, "by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them or precede them which are asleep." Now, the word of the Lord, there weren't many places where Jesus spoke about the rapture of the church. But John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3, he did. And he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe," once again, it's belief. "Ye believe in God, believe also," he said, "in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would not have told you." And he says, what he's saying is that in my Father's house are many rooms. Mansion is one house with many rooms. Listen, we're talking about God's house. Now, we're not talking about Cher's house, so we're not talking about some of these so-called rich people with their mansions and so-called mansions. We're talking about God's house. Now, we got to think about, this is God's house that we're talking about. Now, imagine, number one, how great and grand God is. Now, we got that part. Now, what kind of house would he have? And then he's going to have a room in it for you. And a room in it for you. In my Father's house are many rooms. Many rooms. I can't wait to get in my room. I already imagined it this morning. That is a wide, big room. As far as I can see, that's my room. And then there's buttons. The same for you, same for us. Many rooms. You got a room? I imagine I walk in there and say, Leroy's room. With stars around it and everything flashing. And an angel standing. I'm going to get a little Hollywood on you here. But an angel standing at the door saying, walk in, your majesty. This is your room. Thank you very much. You want to come in? No, I think I'll just stand here and you go ahead. Okay, so I'm imagining it a little bit. But listen, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, neither has entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And so I might not be far off. I might be off a little bit. But it might not be far off because God reveals these things by his Spirit. And he shows it to you. As you study the word, as you consider the word, that's why it's good to study the word. That's why it's good to consider it. That's why it's good to meditate on the word. Because visions come, information come, and you think, well, I just lost my mind. Well, thank God you need to lose that mind. And you need to put on the mind of Christ. Hey, the Bible says of the Holy Ghost that he will show you things to come. And so why are we continually strapping ourselves down with this thing here when God has already, he has opened up this song, the windows of heaven have been opened unto us. And so if we're heavenly minded, that's the difference. The Bible says be heavenly minded. Be heavenly minded. The word of the Lord. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would not have told you. Then it says, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I will return again that I might receive you unto myself. That's what Jesus said. Prepare a place for you. Listen, Jesus was a carpenter on earth. So what, he's building something up there for us? I don't know. I know that he was the son of a carpenter, and a son of a carpenter does what carpenters do on this earth. He's there preparing a place for us. Why? He said, I want you to be where I am. That's what an engaged man says to the woman that he's engaged to. I want you to be where I am. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to work and set things right. And that's what we are. We are the body of Christ. But not only the body, we're the bride of Christ. So he's coming back to get his bride. That'd be you and me. He's coming back. He promised. That's what Paul said. By the word of the Lord, that they which are alive at that time, which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede or prevent them which are asleep. It refers to the body being asleep. Not the soul, the body. But it says that the Lord himself, the Lord what? He's not going to send a messenger. He's not going to send an angel. He's not going to send a surrogate. He himself shall descend from heaven. He hadn't done it yet, but he shall descend from heaven. And it will be, the Bible says, with a shout. It will be with the voice of the archangel and with the trump or trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. A trumpet, that particular trumpet has in it a sound that will alert the dead to rise from the grave. But the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, he himself will descend. He's going to come down. And the Bible says here that we won't go first, but what he's going to take care of are those that have died and been placed in the grave. He's going to bring back those that are dead, absent from the body, is present with the Lord. He's going to bring the spirits of those that are with him back to be reunited with their bodies. And when that body, when those bodies are raised, they will be raised with resurrected bodies. Resurrected bodies. This is so, so powerful. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 right quick, if we can get over there. I know I like to run, but I'm going to slow down this morning.
Yeah, we're going to go back in just a moment.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 23. But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterwards, they that are Christ, at his coming. And if we look over to verse 51, it gives us a little more light on this subject. 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, or look, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You know what a twinkling of an eye is? It's too fast for me to think. It's a quick twinkling. Somebody did one such and such and such and millisecond something of a second. I mean, a twinkling of an eye is quicker than we can think. We will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. You know what that means? I'll be talking to all of them and say, brother, I can see right through you. What just happened? Right? We say, wow, wait a minute. So I have knowledge of thus and such and such. We'll be changed in a moment. And in the midst, in mid-step, we'll be changed. Bam! In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. The Bible says that we will be changed. And then verse 17, after the last trump and the dead in Christ is risen first, then it goes on and says in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, one distinction I want to make here is that it didn't say that Jesus' feet touched the earth. He came down. It says we're going to meet him in the air. Did it not? We're going to meet him in the air. That there's going to be the voice of an archangel. This is going to be a powerful voice. When folks in the grave come up and come out of the grave, that's going to be a powerful voice and a powerful trumpet that's going to sound, and the dead and grandma's going to get up. And grandpa's going to get up. And Junior, our beloved brother, is going to get up. And we're going to see him. They're going to get up with that sound. And they're going to be changed. And they're going to be incorruptible. Then the Bible says, then after that, those which are alive and remain. So let me tell you this. I hope he comes today before we walk out. Back in 1980, the preacher was preaching, said he could come tonight. But he didn't come that night. But he could come tomorrow. But he didn't come tomorrow. But the Bible says that we should live expecting his coming, as though his coming is imminent, that it is about to happen. And he's going to come. And listen, if we live our little short lives, and I can tell you that these lives are short compared to the backdrop of eternity, 50 years, 60 years, and 70 years is a very, very short time span. Very short. And so, if he should tarry, and we should go on to be with the Lord, don't worry. He's already got us covered. We're in his hand. He said, in one place, he says that, my Father, those that give me, my Father has given to me, and he says that no one can pluck them out of my hand. No one can pluck them. The same word that Jesus used for pluck them out of my hand is the same word used here for being caught up. It's being snatched away. It's being pulled out. It's being taken out. He says, no one can take them or pluck them or catch them or snatch them out of my hand, and everything is in the Father's hand, and nobody can take them out of the Father's hand. And the same word used for caught up was the word he used that no man can take, or no one can take, those that the Father has given him out of his hand. So don't worry about losing your salvation based on the words of Jesus. Don't worry about it. It can't happen. But I've lived a bad life. Well, we all have. We all have. But once you become his, it's a whole nother story. Don't be talking, well, I hope I don't lose my salvation. Why are you spending your time worrying about that? I want to dispel this from your life today, that don't worry about it. Because if you're in Jesus' hands, he said, no one can take you out of his hand. No one. No one. No matter what happens, guess what? Even you can't take yourself out of his hand. And, you know, it's like your child say, well, I'm mad at you. I'm not your child anymore. Well, okay. And then go walking out. We had our little boy call himself going to run away one time. And we just, he was mad. What you doing? I'm packing. What? I'm running away. I'm leaving. We say, okay. So we sat down. And he packed his little bags and went out the front door. And when the door closed, we got up and ran to the window and looked. We watched him. And he made it, what did he make it to the top of the yard up there? To the corner. He made it to the corner. Then he stopped and turned around and came back, and we ran and sat back down again. Doesn't matter where you go, you're still our son. And we still love you. You cannot get unborn. When you're born the right kind of way. When you come in the right way, you can't get unborn. You can't do it. I would say I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. But I'm trying to tell you that this is a done deal. You are sealed in him. Listen, you can't come here at a place like this and listen to this word and not belong to him. Do you know this word hits hard sometimes? It don't hit you only, it hits me too. I need help. I need something that can cause this to take place and happen for me and for you. Now I know you say, well, I ain't right where I ain't this. Okay. But listen, you come here or you go to another place where the word of God is being preached without compromise, and you sit there and you take that and you consciously consider it and say, what do I need to do, Lord? Come on now. There's got to be a relationship here. Because those without a relationship, you know they get mad, right? They can't stand the preacher and they hate all of y'all. Nobody can't tell me what to do. And you go to talk to them and they got an attitude and they chopping you up and cutting the fool. You go, what's going on? They nothing. Just nothing. Are you coming back next week? I had enough of that. I'm just trying to tell you, no matter how deep you fall sometimes, that you can't fall out of his hand. I want everybody to say amen to that. I want you to know you cannot fall out of his hand. That's what he said in his word. That no one can take him out of my hand. Even if your doctrine is off, askew, or you get a hold of some strange, weird doctrine, and you belong to him, that doctrine cannot take you out of his hand. It'll take you down some strange pathways in this life, and you'll be believing, expecting some of the weirdest things, but it will not take you out of his hands. And he'll correct you. He'll speak to you. That's what you do with your child. You help them. Not because you're angry, but because you want to help your child. You see, discipline and punishment are two different things. Punishment, you meet that out because you're mad. And I'm going to get you for upsetting me like that. And you punish But discipline is done in love. And the child knows when you love them. And when you discipline them, they know it. God disciplines, but he doesn't punish his children. Don't say amen. Did y'all understand that? Did y'all understand it, or is it just sinking in? When y'all get silent, I don't know if y'all reject it or what, but it's okay. But I'm just wanting you to know that it's, number one, it's not the devil. If you belong to Jesus, it's not the devil. If the devil is bothering you, it's because God let him. Go ahead. I'm going to need a lot of amens here right now. If the devil bothers you, it's because the Lord allows it, but he does it for his purpose and not so that the devil can triumph over you. Because, hey, Satan's already been defeated. It's a done deal with him. So whatever he does, it's just by allowance. Amen? It's just by allowance. So I want you to be encouraged. Then we which are alive, that means that there is going to be a generation. And when I was 28 and 30, I said, maybe it'll be my generation. I'm 60. It still ain't been my generation yet. But, you know, I've been waiting 30 years, 31 years. Oh, man, wouldn't that be great to never have to taste death, to never have to enter into the portals of death. But there will be a generation that will not taste of death, and they will be changed instantly while they are yet alive. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the dead that was raised and with Christ to meet the Lord in the air. And it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. See, these are the words that we need to use to comfort one another. We need to speak comforting words to one. Listen, I don't know about you, but I have enough challenges in life without you not comforting me, or you giving me a hard time. Or you got enough things that are confronting you without me giving you a hard time. Listen, out here they ain't going to comfort you. They're not going to comfort you out here. They're going to tell you what a dummy you are. They're going to tell you how bad you fail. They're going to attack your intelligence. They're going to put you down and try and destroy you. But in here, we should comfort one another. We should walk out of this place today saying, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One day, Jesus Christ is going to make me just like him. He's going to change my vile body to be just like his body. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Comfort. This comfort that it speaks of. Here's the comfort. The dead shall be resurrected and will participate in the Lord's coming for his own. That's the one thing that's comforting. So whether we live or die, we will be and are in the Lord. That's our comfort. That even in death, we win, even in death. If someone threatened you, you say, well, I guess you're threatening me with heaven, because that's what it is. Thank you. Make my day. Of course, we're not going to say, go ahead and shoot, but I'm just saying that. Yeah, you got to back up now. Right. Don't be crazy. But you got to know that even in death, we win. We are not losers, y'all. I felt like a loser, but I'm not a loser. I need his word to remind me that I'm not a loser. When I was working for the state, I felt like a loser. I've been demoted 2 times, pushed way back in the corner somewhere, and sat there and doing mediocre stuff. I felt like a loser. And they did not care. The only hope I had was this word in Jesus. And I know that I am not a loser. As a matter of fact, I made it out of that system. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. He delivered me from that. Yeah, when it came down on me, I just turned to the Lord. Said, Lord, please help me. Tell me what to do. And just start thinking those things. Y'all hear me? Just start thinking what he says to think. the comforters. When Christ comes, the living will be reunited forever with their loved ones. Forever with our loved ones. That's comforting. You know how you stood over your mom's casket or your grandmother's casket or your grandparents or your brother's casket and you wept. And I hate to see them go. It's just so difficult to take. It was a sad time. But if he knew Christ and died in Christ, we're going to see him again. What a glorious time that will be. And the last comfort here is that we will be with the Lord eternally. I just want you to be encouraged today and know that you belong to him. You are his. I don't care how hard-headed you are. I don't care how much you don't read his word. I don't care how much. Look at that. I'm saying I don't care again. I do care. Y'all know what I'm trying to say, right? Yeah, I don't. It's not that I don't care. I said that 1 week. I couldn't wait to get back to straighten that out because that thing haunted me. But I do care. What I'm saying is no matter how hard-headed you are, no matter how you refuse to do certain things or walk in certain ways, no matter how you continue to practice certain things or do certain things, you still belong to him. You see, I just don't feel worthy of it. Newsflash. Who is? Who is? It's but by his mercy, by his grace, that he saved us. The Bible says, by grace, we are saved. Through faith, that means to believe in him. Not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Not of works, not of what you do, lest any man would boast or would brag. That's what the Bible says about your salvation. It's by grace you're saved. It's through your belief. It's a gift of God. Thank God for his wonderful gift of salvation. Ain't you glad? Oh man, I'm so glad he looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Oh man. Oh boy. Hey, you can't have been any bigger rascal than I was. And don't worry, I'm not going to delineate how I can stand on that because it would just, it wouldn't edify you and it would humiliate me. You know? But listen, nobody stands above anybody in this world. And the Bible says if a brother or sister be found in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself that you also be tempted. You know what I found that out to me? By experience. By experience. He ain't slow as so and so. I don't know how he do like that. God ain't gonna bless him like that. How in the world he do that? How in the world? And by 1 or 2 weeks, I forget the time, I was in the same spot. Oh, now I understand. I know why he does what he does. I see why they act that way. Because now I need help to get out of this same jam. So it says, think about yourself now. Consider yourself now. Don't be so harsh. If it's a brother or sister, think about yourself. Consider yourself. You can find yourself in the very same or similar type situation. And you'll be there so that you can learn how to be merciful to your brother. So let's save ourselves a lot of big headache and just be merciful. Amen. You need mercy, don't you? Well, the sower, you know, the seed, that sown will bring about what that seed is. So if you sow seeds of mercy, you get mercy. We need mercy. Amen. Well, be encouraged today. I hope that you are encouraged to know that we're going to spend, and I hope you like me because you got me for eternity. So, y'all start practicing or something or start forgiving or do something because I'm going where you going. we're going to spend eternity together with him. Father, thank you for this time and word, and help us, Lord, to take these things to heart, and help us to not throw this off, and help us not to overthink the simplicity of this good word today about who we are in you. Lord, help us to remember that we're in your hands, and that because we are in your hands, that no one and nothing can take us out of your hands. We are yours forever. In Jesus' name, amen.